The only reason that I have not just let myself go is because I was given specific instructions to when I sensed that the Holy Ghost was on me to give the word first. He said, give the word first, and then I can just let go. Okay? So I'm going to give the word first, as much as is within me. And then I'm going to let go. How many of you know what December 26th is known for? Yeah, I know what it's called, but why? What's it known for? What do people usually do on December 26th? They go back and they return all the gifts that they didn't want. For whatever reason. Sometimes they think it's too expensive. Sometimes they think it's just ugly. Or it is not my taste. Okay. Well, the title of this exhortation this morning is No Refunds, Returns, or Exchanges. Okay. Say no refunds, no returns, no exchanges. Okay, let's go to John 3:16 real quick. Okay. I'm going to let you in on a little hint. I just got to say it. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means there are no returns, no refunds, no exchanges. He gave you the gift, and you're going to keep it because he ain't taking it back. Okay? Are you at John? Quickly, let's read John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Normally we follow this up with John 13, but we're going to do something a little different. Would you put that up, please, John? We're going to make this confession. Because how many of you are believers? Okay, then say, I am a believer. A believer is patient. Read it with me. A believer is kind. A believer isn't envious, doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. There's no arrogance in a believer. A believer is never rude, crude, or indecent. Let's flip that one back. We need to say this one again. Let's say it slowly. A believer is never rude, crude, or indecent. Okay, we go on. A believer is not self-absorbed. A believer isn't easily upset. A believer doesn't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice, but truth, yes, truth, is a believer's delight. A believer puts up with anything and everything or anyone that comes along. A believer trusts, hopes, and endures no matter what. And say, are you still believers?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Romans. Getting through this quickly. Because I want to get to where I want to go. This is the foundation scripture. We hadn't read it in a while. I was like, Lord, they know it. He said, read it. I said, okay, yes, sir. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? And how should they be? Why? That's right. And be not conformed, but be ye, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and at perfect will of God. And above all, I moved right into Proverbs 4. Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. And I said it before, but he told me to say it again today. We think that our lives are controlled by the Word of God. Not so. Our lives are controlled by what we think about the Word of God. Because if we don't think the Word of God is true, we won't act like it. And our lives will reflect that. So it becomes very important that we start getting a hold of how we think. See, too many of us are stuck in our old habits and old attitudes and old ways for whatever reason. I was stuck because it was safe. So I wanted to stay there. See, it's easy going around when you let it be known, if you mess with me, you take your life in your hands. People leave you alone. But how can I be patient and kind and mean at the same time? Okay? It can't be that way. I can't, and you can't either. But I'm telling, I don't care who, if I have any enemies out there, I want you to get this too. Okay? Because I want you to make another confession, because we need to understand how important it is that we change the way we think by renewing our minds. So let's put the second one up, John. Okay, let's make this confession. My personal transformation requires a radical change in my life and lifestyle. Nothing in my life remains the same because change is essential to growth. Growth is essential to life, and life is the reason for being. I can change my address, my job, my wardrobe, and my friends. I can even change my name, but my life will not transform until I change the way I think. We have to change the way we think. You ready? Here we go, because we're gonna destroy all that's plagued believers. We're going to destroy it. Everything that stopped you, everything that's made you feel less than worthy, ends today. Amen. Ends today. Say it, ends today.
Ends today.
Glory to God. Okay, all your lives when we're growing up, we said, all right, now God's going to get you. You better behave yourself. I mean, I got married at two. At two. It was a Tom Thumb wedding. Yeah. I didn't want to do it. I didn't even know the girl. And at 2 years old, I didn't want to know her. But I was told God was going to get me if I didn't go ahead with this. I found out years later it was a fundraiser. What was that? Oh, that's right. A month ago, I passed the church. We were driving along. I said, hey, there's the church where I got married. Okay. But see, stuff has been happening to believers. And I like to believe, I choose to believe that folks had the right intention. But they were doing things, there were doctrinal types of things that were not ordained by God, that folks were doing. I mean, the church's reputation is horrible. The church is the only army that does what? Kills its wounded. You do something wrong, you're no longer fit for service. And at one point, I bought into that because I didn't know any better. And you'd think, well, you know, if the blessing come with conditions. I started thinking about that. And last week, God said to me, he asked me a question. He said, since my gifts and calling are without repentance, why do people repent having them? And I started thinking about that. I said, Lord, give me just a little more information, if you would. He said, well, have you ever regretted being a pastor? I was like, yes. There are times I'm like, Lord, why didn't you choose someone else? Why me? Why do I have to put up with some of those people? I'm being honest. I'm being honest. And I didn't realize I was repenting the gift and the calling of God. And then I tried what I thought was a surefire way to get out of it based on, you know, my history with the church. I started reminding God of all my failures before and after I received Christ. And he said, am I not omniscient? Then I had a real good plan, Pastor Jesse. I said, this one will work. I stopped praying. I stopped reading. I stopped studying. Because I figured if I don't know nothing, ain't going to do nothing. Okay. You see how that works. Okay. Why? Because his gifts and his calling are without repentance. And we need to understand that so that you can get about doing what God called you to do that you stopped doing because somewhere along the line you messed up. You made a mistake or someone told you God can't use you in that condition. But God never said that. As a matter of fact, everything he said is exactly the opposite of that. Making a mockery of the cross. I'm telling you. Look at Romans 11. Verse 29. That's where that scripture is. I'm not going to take the time. You can read the whole chapter and see everything that he was talking about. You know, wanted to know. He didn't want to, in essence, he didn't want the Gentiles to, you know, to feel like they were all that because we got grafted in. Okay. But the truth is, we got grafted in. And as long as we choose to stay connected to the vine, we're going to stay grafted in. All right? So that verse reads what? Read it with me. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Without. Okay, first we're going to take a minute and examine this. Gift is the Greek word charisma. Oh, that came out good. I was pressing the button on the computer and repeating it. Charisma, yeah. Listen to what it means. Favor, which one receives without any merit of his own. God gives us charisma, even though we don't deserve it. And there isn't anything that you can do to get it. The only reason you got it is because he loves you and he wanted to give it to you. And he's not taking it back, okay? We know that word as something a little different. We know that word as charisma. What do you think charisma means? Just tell me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is a safe harbor. What do you think charisma? How many of you heard the word charisma?
Certain kind of personality.
Charm, talent, certain kind of personality. A magazine. Okay. That's where you get the word grace from. By definition, charisma, a divinely conferred gift or power. So when you say you have charisma, that's right. It was divinely bestowed on you by God. A spiritual power or personal quality that gives an individual influence over or authority over large numbers of people. Charisma. The special virtue of an office, function, position, etc., that confers or is thought to confer on the person holding it an unusual ability for leadership, worthiness of reverence, or the like. That is where all believers fit. I mean, we're in all categories, but that last one, every single believer is in that category. You know why? Doesn't the word say we are ambassadors for Christ? We are ministers of reconciliation. So we have a word that we have to share with large numbers of people. And God has called you and has gifted you with charisma so that you can accomplish that task. No, not so you can live in a $6 million mansion, you know, and have a fleet of 15 Rolls Royce. He gave it to you so you can reach the masses of people and they will receive you, they will reverence you the same way they reverence him because you're his ambassador. And nowhere in that scripture does it talk about what you have to do to get it. And we need to understand that. The second word. Oh, I got to tell you this. Wait a minute. It also means the divine grace, like Pastor Jesse said, by which the pardon of sin and eternal salvation is appointed to sinners in consideration of the merits of Christ laid hold of by faith. Charisma. When I think about those definitions, I'm like, why would I ever be upset because of a calling God placed on me when he's equipped me to handle whatever comes? What about calling? What do you think calling means? I mean, it does mean call, like come here, you know. Does mean mandate, set apart, invitation to a feast. I wrote here, this is the biggie. The divine invitation to embrace God's salvation. The divine invitation, and God never withdraws it. Never withdraws it, and there isn't anything we can do to make him take back that invitation. Nothing. I'm gonna say something here, but first, before I say it, there's something I want you to think about. I know it's gonna be hard, you know, but you're gonna have to get real. You willing to get real? Okay. I want you to think about all the sinful, mean, despicable things that you did before and after you received Christ. I want you to think about that. I'm not going to let you think about it long. I don't want you to start crying or anything. You know, but I want you to think about it. And then I'm going to read to you what God told me to tell you. Okay, think about it. I know some lists are longer than others. Okay, but that's okay. All right. God said that before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew all about you. He knew every attitude you were going to have, every mean, even ungodly word you're ever going to speak or action you would take. He knew you were going to have times and even seasons of disobedience. Yet in spite of everything he already knew you would do, he never withdrew his invitation or his gifting to you. He knew it in advance. He knew it before you were ever born that you were going to mess up. He knew you were going to be on drugs. He knew you were going to be an adulterer or a fornicator. He knew you were going to be a murderer or a rapist. He knew it. And he gave you the same gifts and callings anyway, as if it never happened. How dare anyone tell you you're not worthy to be used by God? Yes, sometimes things happen and you serve here and we tell you, why don't you sit for a while? That's not punishment. That's so you can focus on whatever it is that you're struggling with. Amen. And that's the only reason we do it. We don't do it to punish you. What's that going to do? Well, you can't serve for a month. Oh, good. That means I get to come to church and sit down. And people actually get mad when we tell them that. I feel like a child. You punished me. You don't have to come an hour before everybody else. Now, don't do anything wrong. They get set down. Just okay. But God didn't even for a nanosecond ever think, I can't use them. Because they told a lie. I can't use them. Because they got a poor performance evaluation at work, so they're not a good witness to me. That's nonsense. You're just as valuable to God if you got a U or you got an S. If you are outstanding or unsatisfactory, God still has the same worth placed on you. Because he's the one that will get you from unsatisfactory to outstanding. He's the one that'll cause you to maintain outstanding. All you have to do is let him. You have the easy part. God has to do all the work. He has to go about getting everybody to change their attitudes and change their opinion. You just simply have to be obedient. And sometimes we'll miss that. Okay, fix it. And keep on stepping. But enough of this, I can't work anymore because I missed it. Look at Acts 13. And we're talking about David. You guys remember him? Okay. Verse 22 says, and when he had removed him being King Saul, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. And how did he describe David? A man after my own heart. Now, this was before David took over as king that he said that. So, since God, who already knows everything, before we were formed in our mother's womb, knew that David was going to choose not to go to war, lust after Uriah's wife, commit and cause her to commit adultery, then plan Uriah's death, and be so insidious that he has Uriah carry his own death order. But before he did any of that, God said, I'm going to raise him up as a king because he's a man after my own heart. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you are adulterers or had somebody's husband or wife killed. But the point is, whatever it is that you may have done did not cause God to fall off his throne and say, oh me, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Amen. He already knew and still found you worthy and still called you, still gave you an important job of winning the lost, winning souls to Christ. Some starting churches, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, imperfect people that he has called, even though they were imperfect. And you think that he can't use you because of what you did. In Matthew 4, you'll read the account when he called Peter and his brother, Andrew. This was before Peter denied him three times. Before he knew Satan was going to get permission to try and sift him as wheat. Before he knew that, he called Peter. And he didn't come down on Peter, even though he knew it. Now us, we would say, I know what you're going to do. I know what you're thinking. Don't even try it. No, I'm telling you, I don't play that. No, he said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. But when you are converted, some translations say when you turn again to the truth, that's telling me that Peter was going to turn away. Jesus knew that, and he called him and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Because he had faith in his father's choice, Peter did everything he was supposed to do. You know, read over in Acts 3 and 4 and see what this same Peter did. And then after, I'm telling you, I had a best friend once that did something despicable. And if I hadn't have gotten saved, I'd probably be in jail for life. Jesus is face to face with Peter after the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. After that, after Peter goes through, because sometimes you figure somebody's going to do something and you think, well, maybe they won't. Well, Peter did. And now Jesus is face to face with him. And he said, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you really love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. Didn't say, don't do to them what you did to me. Acted as if it never happened. Because as far as he was concerned, it never did. He knew before he created Adam that Peter was going to do that. Just like he knew and knows every single thing that we have done or going to do till the day we're going to breathe our last breath. He already knows, and he says, my gifts and my calling without repentance. I called you. I've gifted you according to your call. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. So you might as well walk in it. Because it's not going away. The call is not going away. I said earlier, we read Romans 29 where it says the gifts and calling are without repentance. Well, the New King James says they're irrevocable. That's an interesting word. Unable to be repealed or annulled. Unalterable. That means he can't even change it. He can't change it. But I won't be no pastor. Okay, I'll make you an elder. It doesn't work like that. The calling was pastor, I think. No, the reason I say that, honey, is because I don't know what comes after that. Okay. As far as I know, the calling was pastor. And there wasn't anything that I could do to prevent it. And I tried to leave here several times. I was going to go to work. I was going to drive a school bus for Chestnut Ridge Transportation. Then all of a sudden God said, you keep saying that, I'm going to put them out of business. I'm like, okay, I'll stay. And put me in a position that not only that I didn't want, I didn't like. I loved dealing and interacting with the children. I didn't like the parents, all of the parents. Some I did, but I didn't like them. Well, because they didn't understand. That's all. They weren't mean, they just didn't understand. I was doing something different with the children. I was causing them to think. Wasn't doing things for them, making them think. Give assignments that only the children knew about. And wouldn't send things home. so that the parents can help. Why? Because I'm thinking college. I'm not thinking middle school. I'm thinking college. And in college, there's only one office that talks to the parents, the bursar's office. Okay. But look at this in some other translations. But believe it or not, I'm winding down. My feet are getting very warm here. The Amplified Bible says, "For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call." So there isn't anything that you can do that will cause God to change his mind. Nothing. He's going to say, "What was I thinking when I called them?" Nothing that any one of us can do. The Common English Bible: God's gifts and callings can't be taken back. Can't be taken back. He can't take them back, and you can't give them back. That's why no returns, no refunds, no exchanges. See, I tried to exchange. God called me to the youth department. I said no. I said, "Okay, God, you want me to work with the youth? That's fine. We only have something for teenagers. That ain't youth." That was my attitude. I said, "You have something for age six to 10? I'm your guy." He said, "I want you to join the youth department." "Oh, you want me to serve? Okay." I filled out an application. I became a host. I was a good host. And he let me stay there at the host for a short period of time and caused me to put a whole lot of unnecessary hardship and pressure on my wife. Because now all of a sudden it seems that I just can't get to meetings and things on time. I'm blaming her. She's not out of God's will. I am. And I'm walking around, I'm like, "God, you need to do something here. I'm trying to serve you like you asked me, and nothing seems to be working here." He said, "I want you to join the youth department." See, he didn't say, "I told you." He said, ever so sweetly, "I want you to join the youth department." And I said, just as sweetly, "No. I'm not dealing with teenagers. I'll hurt one of them. No." Well, the youth department had a meeting. They wanted to meet with all of the parents. And we had children in the youth department. And so we go to the meeting. And the youth director said, you know, he wanted to introduce all the staff. And he was introducing Miss So-and-so and Miss So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so. Mr. This, Miss, Mrs. And I'm like, "Where are all the men?" And he said again, "I want you to join the youth department." See, so you can't exchange the giftings or the callings. I wasn't gifted to be a host. I was gifted for the youth department. Now, with any gift, some things, you know, that they'll work for a while and, you know, but after a point, I was not anointed to be a host. I was anointed to work in the youth department. That's where his gift and calling was for me at that time. And regardless of what I didn't do, he never took it back. And he patiently waited for me to get it. And he will wait for you to get it if you don't get discouraged and quit. Too many of us, far too many, are feeling unworthy and quit. And where do you go when you think that you're unworthy and God doesn't even love you? Where does that leave you? Thoughts of suicide, followed up by acts of suicide. Why? Because someone caused you to feel you weren't worthy? That you were a big disappointment to God? He never said that. Never. And he never will. Contemporary English version. God doesn't take back the gifts he has given or forget about the people he has chosen. You want an easy to read version? God never changes his mind about the people he calls. He never decides to take back the blessings he has given them. Good news. God doesn't change his mind about whom he chooses and blesses. Voice, see, I'm working down to the message, or I should say up to the message. The voice says, you see, when God gives a grace gift and issues a call to a people, he does not change his mind and take it back. When God issues it. Ready for the message translation? All right, give yourself some elbow room. Right? No, I'm serious. I'm surprised. I don't know if you heard me when I let out a shout early this morning because I read this. And I was like, hallelujah! Yeah! Listen to this. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. The Message Bible. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. Full warranty. You know what that means? Anything goes wrong with it, he fixes it. For a lifetime. There are no terms to this. As long as you're alive, your gift and calling is warranted by God. As long as you're alive. But there's still something else. Go to James. James 1. This just gets better and better. Whoa. I feel like Bishop Esau. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And as Pastor Clinton said, we read that and we go, whoop-de-doo, okay, what does that mean? Okay. Listen to the Amplified. Every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, no rising, no setting. He's not going to increase it. You're not going to diminish it. It's just bang. That's all you need. There can be no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning. And then it says an interesting term, as in an eclipse. So the question is, what's an eclipse? How many of you know what an eclipse is? I know we know it when we see it. But that's like I was, okay, now how do we define this thing? All right. An astronomical event that occurs when an astronomical object is temporarily obscured, either by passing into the shadow of another body or by having another body pass between it and the viewer. Another article said an astronomical alignment in which a planetary object, for example, the moon, comes between. That's going to be key. Comes between the sun and another planetary object. For example, the earth, resulting in a shadow being cast by that middle object. Now, I'll tell you what this means. Okay, I wanted to tell you, but he said, read it. Okay. It means that God has aligned, prearranged, predestined, planned the path for your life. And he has called you to that plan and gifted you to accomplish that plan. And not only won't he take it back, but he will never put anything between you and the gift. Never. Why? It'll cast a shadow. He won't put anything between you and the gift. Trying not to get excited because I lose my place. Okay, get down there. You need to make an iPad for big fingers. Okay. He will never put anything between you and his plan, call, and gifts for you, period. It's not dependent on your behavior. It's not even dependent on what you believe. He did it because he's God and he loves you, period. Amen. So stop beating yourself up. Stop trying to delete the call. Stop sending it to voicemail. Right. Stop trying to return the gift. Stop allowing yourself to get frustrated with the very people God sent to you. God sent those annoying folks to you. He sent them to you. Why? He doesn't want them to be annoying anymore. And he wants you to learn how to operate in love because you're a believer. So he's going to send people to you. See, we would like for him to come with his little, you know, snowflake fairy godmother wand and just, ding, there's patience for you. Ding, long suffering. No, he gives you opportunities for them to develop. And the only way they develop, you know how they develop? You have renewed your mind to the place where you recognize and understand who you are in Christ and that you're commanded to walk in love. And you understand that love never acts unbecomingly. You'll learn that love never gives up, never fails, never becomes obsolete, never comes to an end. Never. You really want to get my patience going? Come to me and tell me you've fallen out of love with your spouse. You accidentally fall out of your chair. All right? Stop complaining about your job. Stop complaining about your spouse. Stop complaining about your neighborhood. Stop complaining about your children. All of those things are gifts from God. He doesn't regret giving you that child, so why do you regret having him? He's not taking him back, and you can't put him back. Okay. So now what? Okay. Think about that. Why not just do what you're supposed to do with the gift? Enhance it. Be the example for it. Ask God, God, exactly, tell me again now, what do you want me to say? That's okay, I got to get it right. I got to get it right. There's sometimes when I'm going into a meeting with some folks, I'm talking to God the whole time before the meeting starts. I'm like, okay, Father, let my words be seasoned as with salt so I know how to answer this person. Because what they did, I think, is dumb. But I can't look at them and say, that was dumb. So you tell me how to speak to them so that it is uplifting and encouraging. Because you sent them here. I had a meeting with Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah concerning the youth department staff when I became the youth director. Because if I had let them, they'd have given me agita. I just refused to take it. And he said, and Pastor said to me, well, why don't you just cut them loose? I said, well, I thought about that. But then I realized something. When I reviewed their application, I didn't get a check in my spirit that they were not supposed to be on staff. And when you reviewed the application, you didn't get a check either. You signed off on it. So God knew their personalities. God knew that they won't all go follow instructions to the letter, but he still wants them working with us for the betterment of our youth. So I have to find a way to bring everybody together. It's easy to cut them off and get someone else. But then I would have been cutting off God's gift to our young people. And they had, when they got it, they happened to be a tremendous blessing to our young people. And then there came a time, you know, when they got a little devilitis, but I didn't have to do anything. They took themselves out of the game. I kept doing what God told me to do on their behalf. Why? Because he never repented sending them to the youth department, so I couldn't repent accepting them. That's what we have to understand, folks, with all the gifts that God... First of all, we need to start seeing everything we have as a gift from God. And stop complaining about it. Okay, I'm going there. What if it's a physical impairment? Are you going to tell me, explain that one, Pastor? Did God not say, I will work all things together for your good? Did he say, unless it's a terminal illness? Did he not say, the name of Jesus is above any other name that is named? Did he say that? Did he not say that my gifts and callings are without repentance? I'm not taking back anything that I gave you. That has to mean that no matter what comes your way, God's got it already worked out. All you have to do is tap in to his plan. He already has the planetary alignment so that you can accomplish everything he set you out to accomplish. We need to remember his word does not return to him void. It accomplishes everything he set it out to accomplish. As a matter of fact, he sits and watches over his word to make sure it gets performed. Period. So it doesn't matter what comes your way, folks. Nothing is going to get between you and God's gift and calling on your life. Nothing. So there's no reason, there's absolutely no reason why you can't do all of those things God has told you to do. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. I got a news flash for some of you. God knows you're black. I figured I'd let that sit in. Okay. So what is this I can't accomplish because they won't? Who are they? And what do they have to do with what God has called you to do? I got news for you. God knew there would be racism in this world. You know what he did about it? He sent you. He sent me. To do what? To show people how to live in harmony. To show folks that color is just color. Has nothing to do with people. Nothing. I mean, can you imagine folks living on the same block, same ethnic background and culture, but live in different color houses, start fighting with each other. I don't like green. You don't paint your house green, it needs to be blue. You start burning crosses on your lawn because you have a blue house instead of a green house. No, there isn't anything that goes on in this world that God didn't already know was going to happen. And he allowed us to be born into it anyway. And he gave us gifts and callings anyway. So the only question is, are you going to stop trying to take them back? Or are you going to walk in them? That's the only question on the table this morning. How many of you have been holding back? For whatever reason. I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of those types of mornings where God will have me walk right over to you and take you by your hand and tell you to get up and come down here. So I'm giving you an opportunity to do it yourself because God wants you free. So I'm going to count to three and I'm going to start walking. However he guides me, I don't care what you think, I'm pulling you out of your row and bringing you down here. So I ask again, how many of you have been holding back because you didn't want to accept the gift that God gave you? You're wondering, why do I have to do this? Because he said so. So you're going to come, or do I have to go? You tell me. 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, come on. Everybody stand. Please, everybody stand.